Today we conclude Barbara Newman's investigation, Plutonium, A Question of Life and Death. The investigation has focused on the mysteries surrounding the death and plutonium contamination of Karen Silkwood, a 28-year-old employee of the Kerr-McGee Corporation. Karen Silkwood's mysterious car crash last November resulted in her death. She was making serious allegations before that crash about quality control falsification and health and safety violations at Kerr-McGee. The Atomic Energy Commission later investigated these matters and substantiated more than half of them. Today, Barbara Newman talks again with James Kepler. He's the head of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission Region 3. That has jurisdiction over Kerr-McGee. She asked him about the health and safety violations found there.
I think the allegations made by the Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers Union pointed up a number of areas that needed management attention, and that's good. And they are getting management attention. They pointed up areas that we feel we should be looking at, and we will be looking at. Procedures both in terms of operating procedures and health physics procedures were violated. They are discussed in our report, and the fact that these procedures were not being followed was not known by the corporate office.
Do you think that the failure to follow these procedures made the Kerr-McGee Cimarron facility an unsafe place in which to work?
None of the events themselves resulted in a significant safety issue. Let me put it that way.
But a potential one, certainly did.
Potential, yes. Yes.
And when you're dealing with something like plutonium, when does potentiality become reality?
Well, you're always going to be relying on people, Barbara.
And this points up the philosophy of AEC and now the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's regulations across the board on health and safety, on safeguarding of nuclear materials, on quality control. And that is dependence on industrial self-regulation for the most part, with occasional regulatory spot checking of company records. Kepler.
Well, our whole program of monitoring licensed nuclear activities is based on the licensee assuming the responsibility for public health and safety, primary responsibility. I think the federal government shares in this responsibility in monitoring licensee activities. There are people who suggest that we should be doing 100% surveillance of all activities, and perhaps even more so, even doing some independent verifications of things. Now, our program is not completely all reliance on the licensee. We do make independent verification checks of certain things. But in general, our philosophy or our approach to regulation has been a sampling audit of the licensee's activities.
And as we have seen, this may not be adequate. As we said at the beginning, the reason for the importance of the Kerr-McGee, Karen Silkwood story has significance beyond the death of one individual and the conditions at a single plutonium factory. Dr. Theodore Taylor.
My guess is that the situation at Kerr-McGee is not particularly worse or better than it is at other plants, other commercial plants that handle plutonium.
What Taylor is saying is that conditions at Kerr-McGee can be viewed as a microcosm of the commercial nuclear industry. In telling the story, you may have noticed the absence of a Kerr-McGee viewpoint and how they view these developments. After repeated efforts, they consistently refused to speak with a representative of National Public Radio. Kerr-McGee represents the beginning of the plutonium age. Having known for years the toxic nature of plutonium and the difficulties associated with its commercial use, it would have been expected that the first plants would be showcase operations demonstrating for all that industry can safely deal with plutonium. It would have also been expected that the responsible regulatory agencies could protect humans from exposure and prevent diversion of this highly toxic special nuclear material. What we have heard is that the regulatory authority claims It cannot offer 100% assurances that small or large amounts of plutonium will not be stolen. We have also heard the regulatory authority credit a union with informing it of conditions with potential hazards to worker health and safety. The question one is left with is, why did the regulatory body not know of these conditions itself? We end as we began, with Karen Silkwood. What motivated her? Was she truly interested in health and safety? Did she contaminate herself? These answers will probably never be known for sure. The fact remains that she was right about health and safety hazards at Kerr McGee. She was right about quality control falsification. And the dramatic circumstances surrounding her contamination and her death have served to focus attention on the apparent inadequacies of the plutonium industry and its regulator. This is the importance of the Karen Silkwood story. I'm Barbara Newman.